This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Bright Side Home Theater.
Hey, home theater nerds, welcome to the Bright Side Home Theater Podcast, the podcast that focuses on the experiences we have in our theaters. My name's DJ, and you can reach me on Twitter at BrightsideHT, or you can email me at BrightsideHomeTheater@gmail.com. And of course, you can always talk to all of us directly by leaving comments at the website, BrightsideHomeTheater.com. There are spots for comments under all the episodes and under all the featured theaters. And every week I request, please check out the featured theaters, not for me, not for the website, but for the people that submitted those theaters. They put a lot of work into those theaters. There's a lot of passion there. And just leaving a comment that, you know, you liked this or you have a suggestion or an idea. Maybe you want some advice and you see something they're using that you want to use. Leave a comment under there and it helps. And I know these people, they really enjoy these theaters and it's a lot of fun when they get to have some feedback and interaction with people. So I really appreciate that. We actually have a comment this week. I'll be talking about that in a little bit for last week's episode. There's a PD. And also, don't forget to check out the YouTube page as well. I'm trying to put a video a week up there. And sometimes it's a little slower than others. I'm new at this. And believe it or not, I get nervous sitting down here. And I get nervous over there too. Over there, because I'm pointing over to my theater where I film them. So, but there's links for all of this and more, as always, on the website and in the show notes. So this week, new Twitter followers, we have Justin Van Camp, Arawanan, Irawanan, and also Byron Stocks. Thank you very much for following. Welcome to the community. Take a look around. Have some fun. And movies and scenes this week, we have quite a few. We have District 9 in 4K, at WV Brew on Twitter submitted this. It says, District 9 video damn near close to as good as Gemini Man. Audio may be wildest sound field I have ever heard. He has scenes of 54 minutes, the flyovers, 1 hour 25 minutes, robot active, and 1 hour 41 minutes liftoff. Last half hour is fantastic. And I can agree. This is a really good disc. I'm going to be doing this one probably fairly soon. Some scheduling's going on. I already have my notes for it. Things are popping up and I'm getting excited about different ideas, and we'll talk about that too a little bit later. But this one here is a great disc. The video is really good because it's the way they filmed it. And then the upgrade to me for 4K actually amplifies or exemplifies the way they use the video in this movie. So definitely one to check out if you haven't already. WV Brew also mentioned to me on Saturday, he says, Def Leppard, and there will be a next time on Quello. So, and there will be a next time is the title of the video. It's a concert video, and WV Brew said, this 2017 concert is pristine video and energetic audio. Crowd noise screams, band is on point. You would be hard-pressed to beat Let's Get Rocked in this concert video. They nail it. Quello strikes again. So if you don't follow me on Twitter and you didn't see my Twitter feed from Saturday, let me fill you in. So WV Brew tweets this out Saturday afternoon. I happened to be in my theater, quote unquote, working, and I stopped what I was doing and I put this video on. Text my wife, who's upstairs. I said, come down, you got to check this out. So we watched that video, Let's Get Rocked, which is probably towards the end of the concert itself. But the great thing about Quello is you can actually choose the track. So even though it's a concert video, you can pick which song you want. So, of course, we watched that, and I looked at her. It was a crappy, snowy day out or something, and we had no plans to go anywhere because, well, COVID. And I said to her, I go, hey, you want to go to a concert tonight, and we'll watch this? And her eyes lit up because she's a huge Def Leppard fan, and we've seen them many times in concert, going all the way back to the 80s. We had date nights when we went to the concert when we were kids. So she said, yeah, that's a great idea. So I said we'd start at around 7:30, would come down, you know, come down to the theater and watch the concert. So we started out at 7 o'clock. She got all gussied up. She put on her concert stuff. My son was leaving the house, and he looked at my wife and goes, what are you doing, Mom? And she's like, you can't go to a concert in just like crappy clothes. She's like, she took a shower. She got all dressed up, and she's like, we're going to a concert. So we hung out in our kitchen. We had some drinks. We had some appetizers, a little quote tailgating before the show. And 7:30 rolls around. She goes, do you want to go down now? And jokingly, I said, no, they never start on time. We'll wait a little bit. So we hung out till like 8 o'clock. We went down, we hit play, and my wife's like, don't turn it up too loud. I was like, okay. So I just turned it up probably minus 10 dB. Let's shorten this long story a little bit. And needless to say, we were at plus 8 dB by the end of it because she was so excited. She just kept saying, turn it up, turn it up. So I was at plus 8 dB. Plus I had to punch the bass up a little bit. So I have my bass punched to plus 6. And it was rocking. Now, the reason you can do that, even on Qello, is because this isn't an Atmos track. It's not like a really vibrant, dynamic 5.1 track. It is good, but it doesn't have that dynamic range. So I just kept boosting it and boosting it till we could feel it. And I had it really cranking, and we just had an absolute blast. We put pictures out on Twitter, and there was even a point where a song comes on that she wasn't really familiar with, not one of her favorites. And she's like, all right, I'm not crazy about this one. I'm going to go hit the bathroom. And I'm like, you know, I can hit pause over here, right? But it was an absolute blast, completely absorbed into that concert atmosphere. And WV Brew is right. The video is so good because it's from 2017. The concert's from 2017. So you have the high def video. You have great surround sound here. And it's been so long since we've been to a concert. It was just a blast. And it's something, what an experience. Talk about having those experiences in your theater. We just had an absolute great time, to the point that my wife sent out some of the pictures that we were tweeting out. We sent them to our neighborhood friends, and they were like, how did you get to a concert? Because the pictures actually look like we took pictures of a concert looking at the stage. But then when we took the selfies of ourselves, because we're in a dark room with only the light of the screen coming off us, it actually gave that effect that we were in a darkened concert hall or something. So people actually thought that our pictures were us at a concert. So that was really cool, but she had a blast. And I mean, she even texted each other Monday when she's at work, and she's like, Saturday was so great. Thank you. What a great weekend. And it was just an absolute, so much fun. So thank you, WV Brew, for the suggestion, because it led to what a great night. So, all right, moving on. WV Brew also suggested Road Warrior on Blu-ray. Watching my favorite Mad Max movie, Road Warrior, on Blu-ray, I would love to see this in 4K. Even on Blu-ray, though, I dare you to find a movie with more detail, dust scratches, wear tires, and tread all rotted at different stages, and costume detail, just gritty goodness. And he also said, I just wonder how many people who saw Fury Road and liked it have never even seen other Mad Max movies. If you like Fury Road, watch Mad Max 2, which is called Road Warrior, only because most had never heard of Mad Max 1 when it came out. And yeah, I agree with you. It's like, I actually liked Road Warrior better than Mad Max as well. I'm not a huge fan of Mad Max. It's just not my cup of tea when I was a kid. But then Road Warrior, it is. It's just, it has more action to it. It's just, I thought it was a better, more engaging movie. And then Fury Road, much in the same way. I haven't watched the 4K versions yet myself. I'm probably going to be doing those as the year goes on because I want to see how they have progressed, especially where the original Mad Max, it was kind of just the gritty of the grain of the film and everything was so gritty because it's so old. I'm really kind of looking forward to see what they did with that. So another good suggestion. He also said, now this one here, we'll get to it. Okay. Star Trek, the motion picture. Want to have some fun and be floored by what an upmixer can do? Upmix Star Trek 1979, mesmerizing. Your ceiling speakers will dance. These are unbelievable scenes to test upmixer. And he has, at the 40-minute mark, the wormhole. The 1 hour, 12-minute mark, intruder alert. And the 1 hour, 56-minute mark, Viger. Which is at the end there, you have the entire, everything goes off with that computer and the sun. It's great. My buddy and I, we reviewed this entire movie on my other podcast, Brightside Chat, and we were like, wow, this movie didn't hold up well. And he's a huge Star Trek fan. And it is. It's a slow slog of a movie to me. The scene where they first present the Enterprise, it takes like 15 minutes and it's just like, okay, enough, please. It's like, it's just a long, long scene. But there are, and I mentioned it then, there are some fantastic sound scenes. And that end scene there with Viger, Viger, it's the sound in your room in the upmixing, which I always do as well. It sounds fantastic. That wormhole scene, same thing. But I can't recommend the movie. I thought the movie was slow and I liked Star Trek II better. Wrath of Khan I thought was a better movie itself. But those three scenes that WV mentioned are really good. They are really good. So if you have that movie in your collection, definitely check those out. And if you haven't used your upmixer, you won't be disappointed. All right, we have The Walk in 3D from Steve George. Steve George on Twitter at LegalBeagle, okay. He says, hey DJ, for next week's film scene recommendations, I would highly recommend the final wire walk sequence of The Walk on 3D Blu-ray. Just showed it to my girlfriend and our six-year-old. It was my son's first experience of 3D. The sequence runs 20 minutes or so, and the two of them were gasping over and over. My son said about halfway through, though, wow, I feel like I am him. The video is pristine and the upmixed Neural X soundtrack is awesome. The helicopter towards the end is a highlight. Might not be one for those with vertigo and big screens, though. And he is right. My son and I watched this movie as well this week. And I had heard a lot about this movie. That's why it's been sitting in my collection. I haven't broken it out yet. And this made me do it. And that final scene, it is insane. It goes, no spoilers, but it kind of teases up and drags on. And it's about a high wire walk. So, you know, the end, he's on a high wire. Okay. So, but it kind of drags on. And what's great about it is you want him to get off that cable because you are so nervous for him and you feel like you're on that wire with him. And at my 110-inch screen, my son and I are sitting there and we're like, this is insane. It's the 3D because you have that fear. And we started talking just to calm ourselves to be like, oh, yeah, well, what is it really like for a high? And we had these conversations while we're watching it and the wind is blowing around. And yeah, when that helicopter comes in, you're like yelling at the helicopter, get away. What are you doing? You're going to blow him off the wire. It's a great, great scene. Definitely worth checking out. If you have 3D capability, I didn't watch this. Is there a 4K? I didn't even bother watching it in 2D. Because once you've seen this 3D, I can't even imagine it's as engaging in 2D, but it's a very tense, tense scene, and it is. It's like 20 plus minutes long. Really, really good. A lot of fun. All right. Let's get to some Twitter and emails and comments this week. So we will lead off with a comment under last week's episode from M. Reesness. I did that on purpose. Left a comment under last week's episode about the Zapedi Pro 4K. So he says, so near as I can understand it from your description, you spent thousands of dollars and literally months of your time struggling through headache-inducing setbacks to watch movies you already own. If you don't want to put discs in a tray, they have an easier, less expensive solution for that. It's called an iTunes movie library. You get the codes with every overpriced disc anyway, and they look and sound just about as good as the disc counterpart. You said yourself this is all going to be streaming in a matter of time anyway. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be a jerk. I just cannot comprehend what the appeal of this product is. I would like to say, first off, you're not being a jerk at all. I actually enjoy the counterpoint. And I understand this isn't for everybody. This is something that it's a next level up if you're at the point of, you know, you've upgraded a bunch of stuff and you're looking for something to do. And it's for somebody that's hands-on. As of right now, like the way it is right now, it is very much for people that are hands-on and they want to have some fun adding stuff to their theater. Yes, you are adding movies that you already own to your theater. But if I remember correctly, you said way back when we were talking, you are doing all streaming, if I remember right. And it was a compromise you made with your wife so you could continue building your theater or something. But you even said, I believe you said, like, you regret having to do that because you recognize that that is a compromise because streaming your movies on iTunes is not as good a quality as the physical discs. Well, this is kind of a no compromise in that aspect where I can actually, yeah, it's kind of the same interface. I think it's a little bit better. It's a little bit different. I put out a YouTube video this week about how it works. But the quality is, it's one-to-one. It's the same thing as a disc. So there is no compromise there, whereas I know I've gone back and forth between the physical discs. I've gone back and forth between 4Ks and then 1080Ps and then also the 4K versions that are streaming. There is a difference. And to me, it's a big difference, especially in the sound. There's a big difference in the dynamic range there because of the compression. And when I was saying that everything is going to streaming, I was more or less talking about how they're going to be not necessarily streaming like we do now, but downloading to own, which is kind of where I think this whole thing is going to go. And because to stream an 80, you know, gigabyte movie, that would be tough to stream because you're only getting bits at a time and you'd never be able to keep up. You'd have to download the whole thing. But the money part is kind of funny to me because to me, it's like, yes, I did spend money on this, but that's what this hobby is about. The money and the headaches to me is like, that's the problem solving and having fun with it. And that's why I included this and I'm having such a good time with it is because this is fun. This is the fun that I get to have in my theater and building and manipulating stuff that's going on in my theater, not just the watching of the movies, but then this takes that actual experience for me to another level. And as far as money goes, let me give you an example. Like, here's my history. So let's go from VHS all the way to today. And as far as money goes, the Zapedi is actually one of the cheaper things I've ever done. So to own 100 VHS movies, which I'm not sure if I ever got to 100, but I'm using 100 as an example. So for 100 VHS movies would cost you about $2,000 because they're about $19.99 each. And then I was playing them on a Sony 4-head hi-fi VCR back then, and that was about $350. So right there, just starting out, not your receiver or anything, but just that right there to play those, you're looking at about, you know, $2,300. To upgrade to LaserDiscs, those same 100 VHS, that would be about $4,500 because LaserDisc used to go for around $45 a piece on average. Some would be 40, maybe 35. Others would be like 55, 60 bucks depending on the title. And then a good LaserDisc player like a Pioneer Elite was like $1,500. That's big money. Then DVDs roll out. To upgrade to my 100 discs to that would be about $2,000. A Sony DVD player I bought at the time was probably about $250. Then the Blu-rays come out. That's about $2,500 for 100 Blu-rays. And the PS3 was about $350. They were back at, you know, almost $3,000. 4Ks, $2,800 for 100 of those. And then your OPPO, you've got to upgrade that. But then the Zapiti comes along and, out of pocket so far, it's cost me $1,700, $1,750 to be where I am today. But then, yes, then time, about 3 months to put my entire existing collection in there. So, and it's, to me, is an upgrade. So I get what you're saying. And there are, you know, everybody has their budgets. Everybody has their limits on what they can and can't do. And that's, I wanted to talk about this because it is something that it is big to me. As I said in my YouTube video, it's like, I've been wanting this since the 90s. I love the idea. I love I loved the Kaleidoscape when that came out in the early 2000s. And, it's not for everybody. I get it, but it is something that is, it was a lot of fun. It still is a lot of fun. It makes me look forward to my theater even more every day. You just go in, click and there you go. You're playing and going along. So I appreciate the comment. And I love to get, like, you know, opposing opinions. That's great. That's how we have conversations. And it makes this even more fun. Okay, we got an email from Gurinder this week. Fellowship of the Rings. And he was talking about that he hasn't seen the movie in a long time. And he remembers watching it on DVD. But that was many years ago, and it's funny because he says one of his favorite scenes was the black horses, and he says, I forget the name, I think, and I believe they're called ringwraiths, if I remember right, and they're sniffing around for them, and he says that may have been his favorite scene in the entire trilogy, but he hasn't seen it since the DVD days, not even Blu-rays. So he has the Blu-ray collection and he's waiting for his kids to get older so that he can watch it with them. And I'm very excited for him. My recommendation would be skip the trilogy on Blu-ray, go right to 4K because you, my friend, are going to be blown away. Going from DVD to the 4Ks is unreal. Because people are blown away going from Blu-ray to the 4K. So I can't even imagine what kind of jump you're going to experience there. Maybe put if you haven't opened the Blu-ray box set yet or something, maybe put that up on eBay and trade that in and get yourself the 4K. I can't recommend that enough. But he also said that he put some black velvet up as a ceiling curtain. He said it took quite a while, but didn't even notice the ceiling when he was watching the movies after that, which black velvet is great for that. I have some black masking that I put above and below the screen for the smaller aspect ratios, the 148 to 1 or whatever. And I wrap that in black velvet and I love it. I was thinking of doing some more on my theater ceiling, but I kind of like the way the ceiling, believe it or not, I like the little bit of reflection to give you that feeling of depth in the room. And it's more about the environment at that point for me, but I do mess around with putting some up there as well. Okay. Carl emailed me about the KEF subwoofer, the KC62. If you haven't seen this, the link for this will be in the show notes. This is a like a 10-inch by 10-inch cube that's supposed to get down to 11 hertz. But it's at about 105 dB max, I think. And I read about this. I am really kind of, I would love to try it. I have my doubts, but I'm not the expert. But what I do, it is like $1,500. And, you know, Tom Andrey says all the time on AV Rant, you can have one of three things. And I've been saying that for about 25 years in my paint business where I paint, I fix cars and they're like, I need this done right away. It was like, and in painting, you could say, well, in body shop work, it was like, you can have it fast, you can have it perfect, and you can have it cheap. Pick two. And it's the same like this. That goes for anything, really. It's like pick two. And you can have small, you can have cheap, or you can, you know, it's this thing here at $1,500. It's really small, but I'm wondering if it's going to reach down and feel in my room. If I put two of these in my room, are they going to equal the SVS PB2000s I have that are 22 inches by 17 inches by 22 inches? It's like that little cube's in place of this giant cube. To me, it doesn't seem like it's going to be able to do it. And I would love to try it out, because if it can do it, that actually might be worth, for a lot of people, that might be worth the double price. Because I can get two SVS PB2000s for the same price as one of these KC62s. But that's today. That's a new technology. Kef came out with it. Read the article. There's a lot of, you know, it's the way they designed the cube and the way the drivers are positioned in it. It's got dual drivers and everything. It's really, really interesting reading. And who knows if they've revolutionized the subwoofer industry again. A few years from now, those will come down in price, and which would then drive down the SVS PB2000s, because why would you need a giant one if you have this little one? So we'll see. Like I said, I'd be very interested to try those out and AB that, but I really doubt that a 10 inch cube is going to, or roughly a 10 inch cube is going to equal the output in a room as a PB2000 would. I really doubt that. So it'll be interesting to see. And he also sent an email about AMC theaters getting some financial relief from an influx of cash from investors in December to avoid bankruptcy for now. And it's great news for people that want to go back to the theaters, but they still need people to get back in the theater in 2021 to ultimately survive. So that's going to be really tough. We're already hearing movies being like Morbius are being bumped to 2022. And it's, who knows? The article that he sent actually mentioned stuff about like they need people getting the vaccine so that people feel comfortable going back into the theaters. I honestly, in my opinion, I know this is a home theater podcast, I don't think people, the general population, is going to feel comfortable in 2021. It's going to take the full year for people to forget what we've learned over the last, you know, almost a year now. I am going to the theaters. Our theaters are opened on a limited basis, and I don't mind. I'm not afraid. I'm just talking the general public. I would love it if everybody went back. I want to support these theaters, but I think it's going to be a long time, and it's going to be tough. I hope these theaters survive. I really, really do. So thanks, Carl. Thanks for both those articles. And that brings us to this week's featured movie, because we don't have a featured theater this week, as I said earlier. But this week's featured movie is Godzilla from 2014 in 4K. Actually, no, I'm sorry. Not in 4K. Ha ha. We'll get to that in a second after we hear this trailer. So let's play the trailer and we'll come back and talk about this not 4K movie.
I want to talk to somebody in charge.
You are not fooling anybody when you say that what happened was a natural disaster.
You're lying.
It was not an earthquake. It wasn't a typhoon.
Because what's really happening is that you're hiding something out there. And it is going to send us back to the Stone Age.
In 1954, we awakened something.
Well, there's nuclear tests in the Pacific. Not tests.
They were trying to kill it.
You have no idea what's coming.
Can you kill it?
The arrogance of man is thinking nature is in our control. And not the other way around.
Godzilla 2014, not in 4K. That is very disappointing, but this 1080p disc is definitely worth checking out. All right. I had so much fun with this. I was super excited. I got halfway through this movie and my intention for this week was to actually do a double feature because that's what I love this series. I love Godzilla because of when I was a kid. I'm not like deep into Godzilla. Like I know the entire history, but it's kind of like it Star Wars in a way for me. It's like, this is something that when I sat down when I was a little kid in front of the TV, I couldn't wait to see Godzilla on Creature Double Feature that they played when I was on Saturday afternoons. And when I looked through the TV guide and I'd see that Godzilla was going to be on Creature Double Feature, Dad, can I stay in and watch this? Can I watch this? And I loved Godzilla. So watching these movies now, they do such a great job at, you know, paying homage to the older movies, but giving you an updated movie, meaning like the technology of the movie it's spectacular, obviously, compared to what we were used to, which was a guy in a suit. So I really was looking forward to this, but I got so wrapped up in Godzilla from 2014 that I never got to Kong, the next movie. So I wasn't able to do the Creature Double Feature. So I was actually going to be putting two podcasts out today, but I got a little ahead of myself and a little too excited and I wasn't able to pull it off. But let's get to Godzilla in 2014. This one here for a 1080p movie, the picture quality, I think you're going to be a little surprised by what I say, but it is visually stunning. And that's not hyperbole. Hyperbole. I really think it is stunning. I really, really do. I went into this expecting a really cool DTS mix. Honestly, when I started this, I was like, well, I know the DTS is going to be good because it's just a DTS master audio mix and a 1080p standard dynamic range picture. But what ended up happening as the movie was playing is I couldn't help but be mesmerized. It's by the picture and how good it was. It is an HDR. There's no doubt about it. But we do get really nice deep black levels with a modest amount of detail. The colors really pop. From the flares in the dark to the lush green treetops, it's really, really well done. the shadows and the darker scenes don't really suffer as much as you would think. There's plenty of detail there to like keep you looking around. And but yeah, every scene you're going to be looking around the screen, and it's like there's, I'm telling you, it's like if you check this out, I think you'll be surprised at how good it looks. Now, granted, it's not HDR, but you have to go into it with the mindset of thinking that it's like, wow, this is just 1080p, and I think you will be impressed. Everything felt really natural. Instead of just being in awe, like I said, of the sound, I just kept, my mind kept going back to, wow, this is pretty good looking. I'm really surprised. And I can't wait for this to come out with HDR, at 4K and HDR. I just think if this looks this good, can you imagine what the HDR is going to be like? And that's why I'd say it's, I think it's like $7 on Amazon. And I have no deals with anybody. I'm not, but for $7, I would say if you don't already own it, you pick it up and check it out and be able to go back and forth when the HDR version does come out, which I was talking with Steve George this week on Twitter, because a lot of people talk, because, you know, Godzilla vs. Kong is coming out and people are wondering, when are we going to get this Godzilla 2014 in 4K? And it doesn't look like we're going to get it before Godzilla vs. Kong, because we would have heard announcements, I think, by now. So what the rumors are, as I've been looking, trying to find out when it was coming, a lot of the people are speculating that it will probably be coming when Godzilla vs. Kong comes out on 4K physical media. So we have that to look forward to, which means, you know, Godzilla Kong at the end of March in the States. We get it March 31st, I believe. So you're looking at least 2 to 3 months later from on disc. So you're at least over 4 months away, 5 months away before we might get this in 4K. So I think if you want to catch up on the movies, that's what I'm doing. I am going to be doing these discs from now, build ourselves up to Godzilla vs. Kong, do each of the movies. From here on out, they are in 4K. This movie actually came out on disc before the 4K revolution. That's why it's the only one that's not in 4K. But I, like I said, I can't recommend this disc enough on the picture. The sound is, it is everything you would expect from a DTS 7.1 master audio. In upmixing this to Neural X, it was absolutely fantastic. I'm very excited for an Atmos or a DTS:X mix on this. I think the dynamic range that they will add to this just to improve everything and really sell this movie will be fantastic. It's almost as stunning as the picture, except for the fact that I have so much respect for DTS and 7.1 and their mixes that I'm not as stunned, if you understand what I'm saying. It's like, it is awesome, but you kind of expect that now. So, you know, you're a little bit, it's hard to be stunned by an audio track from DTS because they're usually really good. It's, you're more along the lines of making sure you're not disappointed. And DTS rarely disappoints, and this one definitely doesn't disappoint. It is very good. If you heard my Twister review, I'd put this one up there. Maybe even above it, but that might just be recency bias because I, you know, obviously I just saw this one. But here's why I would put this above Twister, another 1080p version, 1080p disc, that is. The bass is spectacular throughout this movie. The dialogue is super clear. There's lots and lots of discrete channel effects and plenty of pans throughout the movie. But it's that top-notch sound that they have, but they had to adhere to something that we already knew. Okay? So like Twister, that was something we've never heard before. You can make whatever, you can make a tornado sound however you want. And they did, and it's fantastic. So you had nothing in the back of your mind to try and compare it to, right? Whereas with Godzilla, there are sounds here that I got from this movie that brought me back to hearing Godzilla on a 19-inch TV with one speaker. And so there was a base, a foundation there that they had to kind of live up to, that they wanted to, like I said, pay homage to. And they did, but they upgraded it into this, you know, 7.1 glory. You know, it's awesome. It fills the room. And I just thought it was great. I mean, Twister is awesome. And like I said, maybe it's my recency bias, but for these are two 1080p movies that I would really put up there with a Dunkirk, with something that, you know, everybody says, well, we need Atmos, we need DTSX. These discs sound really good. They are so much fun. And I think this movie belongs in a home theater collection, flat out. And that's why I said, I can't recommend it enough. I think it's $7 on Amazon, if I remember right, when I looked it up. $7, you can't go wrong. It's awesome. So with that, the popcorn's popping. Let's get to some of these scenes, or all of these scenes. What am I saying? Some of these scenes. And of course, we open with the opening. Very beginning is rather subdued as far as openings go, but the score ramps up quickly as the different instruments move back and forth across and fill the room. And the bass is pretty deep and visceral. Like right away, as it ramps up, you can feel it. All of a sudden you get lots of feel, old timey pictures and video clips play out until we get that nice explosion and mushroom cloud at 2 minutes and 15 seconds. And you're like, okay, this disc is going to be a lot of fun. At 2 minutes and 45 seconds, the helicopter. After Godzilla title scream, we get a nice pan from back right to front of a Monarch helicopter. And the first glimpse of the picture quality, really nice too for a 1080p movie. Treetops look nice and the detail and crispness of the helicopter is really, really good. This is like, it's right away, you're going to notice that this is a quality transfer for a 1080p. You'll see what I'm talking about. At 9 minutes and 40 seconds, this is a pattern. A really deep vibration in my room right after Bryan Cranston playing Joe Brody's says, this is a pattern, and it kind of tickled. There's a bunch of these as the movie plays out, these deep bass that come up and just vibrate your room. It's really, really cool. At 10 minutes, 38 seconds, aftershock. Actually, let me rephrase that. Aftershock? Question mark, because they don't think it's an aftershock. This one got two boxes of popcorn. This one rattled and shook my room and continued for quite a while. It's an insane feel because they shook the camera as well to like really give you that full engagement. Like you feel like your room is shaking, but then everything you're seeing on the screen is shaking too. It's just an insane feeling. And then running the Neural X up mix gave me a nice sound from my overheads too. Really, really made it feel like my room was falling apart all around me. Really, really strong scene. At 13 minutes and 24 seconds, door closed. This highly emotional scene here as he has to close the door on his wife. But the deep impact and from that heavy blast door slamming down was just really, really powerful. Really good scene. Really good sound. At 17 minutes and 46 seconds, can't find my pants. One of the quieter scenes in the movie, relatively speaking, but there are some cool ambient sounds around the room and a very accurately placed sound of Aaron Tyler Johnson's character, Ford Brody, the son, opening a drawer on the right side lower part of the screen. Another subtle but really cool effect that didn't need to be there. But you know how I appreciate that accurate effects, those accurate sound effects. And if you're listening to this, obviously you go to this scene and just, you'll play it a couple times and it's amazing how accurate it is. And it's just the simplest scene. He's opening a drawer. It doesn't need to be there, but they did it. And that always impresses me. Oh, also this is Quicksilver. Because he played Quicksilver in Age of Ultron. And he also kisses his sister, who, you know, he actually his character's name was Pietra Maximoff from Age of Ultron, and she's playing Wanda Maximoff. Elizabeth Olsen, that is playing Wanda Maximoff, which we also see in WandaVision right now. So this movie is very timely for that. But that was really weird seeing them. But this movie actually came out before Age of Ultron, so we didn't know that at the time. All right, at 29 minutes and 15 seconds, Captured. This also got two boxes of popcorn. The base here is just tremendous. As Joe and his son Ford are brought back into the plant, we see the new creature ramping up, and the sound that goes with this is awesome. It's just awesome. Very deep, vibrating the room, and the sequential repetitive nature of the pattern makes it really cool in your room. And instead of just a constant sound, we get a pulsing sound that's just so much fun. Then as the events on the screen continue to ramp up and intensify, at 33 minutes and 36 seconds, we get those cables that are meant to contain the creature. They're tightening, and you can actually, with the upmix, you can hear them overhead. It's like, I can't imagine what this scene's going to be like if it gets a object-based mix, whether it's Atmos or DTS. It just, this one, it was really good because those cables tightening, you get that, it's a higher pitch noise, which really lends to directional sound, so now you know where it's coming from. But the bass and the vibrating, the pulsing bass, I should say, the way it's really, really crazy. Definitely worth checking out. Like I said, started at 29 minutes, 15 seconds, and let this just play out. It's really, really good. But then go to 35 minutes and 10 seconds. This one got three boxes of popcorn called Jump Scare. And a worker is looking down the throat of a monster, and of course, boom, something shoots out. I mean, I'm yelling at the screen, don't do that. And he still did it. And the sound and bass practically shoot you out of your seat, leading to another great deep vibration. It was just fantastic. And then the crazy sound of the creature is really, really cool. Tons and tons of great sounds as the scene plays out, shaking your room, vibrating your room, score moving around the room. Listen to the different instruments, and you can hear that they play out back and forth across your room. The sounds move around the score instruments move around the room. Discrete sounds of crashes, obviously, and instruments all around the room. The screams of victims. What little dialogue here is very clear. You'll hear anybody says it, you'll hear it, but it's just your room is completely engaged, which keeps you completely engaged. It's definitely, definitely one to check out. And then Ford puts on a gas mask at 38:10, and this is another three boxes of popcorn. This entire thing, it just keeps going. It's really just go back, just watch the whole movie, really. But that's no fun just to say. So at 38 minutes and 10 seconds, the gas mask, a really cool effect. We look through the gas mask and all the higher pitched sounds we were just hearing are now muted, but we still retain the lower deep bass vibrations because that's the feel, not actually hearing it. You know what I mean? So like, if you can't hear, like cover your ears, like this scene is telling you your ears are covered, you still can't hear the sounds the way you did, but you still can feel them. Just like in your room, your subwoofers will make you feel it, whether you can hear or not, you're going to feel that effect. And they did a great job at muting the sounds with the gas mask, but still giving you that bass vibration. And that's why I gave this three boxes of popcorn. It just, I thought it was such a creative way to use those two different environments, like inside the gas mask and outside the gas mask, and try to accurately reproduce what that would sound like. Now here's the caveat. The gas mask he put on doesn't cover his ears. It's just a facial gas mask. So his ears wouldn't have been covered. So, but let's not ruin the fun. Hey, I couldn't help but notice that because he pulled the gas mask up off of his pocket. So it was just a little facial one that you strap on over your face. But anyways, Let's not let that ruin the fun. Let's not let the details and facts get in the way of a good scene. All right, at 42 minutes and 25 seconds, great design. Great use of a logo here. We're flying over a devastated Tokyo. And most of the backdrop, all our eyes see is, well, all we see is basically a devastated Tokyo. But I don't care where you are on the planet, that one logo at the top of a building, that red, that white swoosh, you know that that's Coca-Cola. It's just fantastic. Being an artist, having taken classes on logo design, my brother's in the business of doing that. My sister's in the business of doing that. They design companies' logos. I have a passion for these things, and that idea that no words, actually, I think it's written in Japanese, maybe, but that logo, those two colors, the red, the white, and that logo, anybody on this planet probably knows exactly what that is. And awesome product placement on the top of that building right there. I wonder what Coke paid for that. But it was perfect. It made me want to go get a Coke. All right, at 44 minutes, that's enough of the commercial break. Let's get back to our feature presentation. At 44 minutes and 38 seconds, Godzilla. And this is just more about Ken Watanabe saying the character, well, his character, I should say, Dr. Ishiro saying Godzilla. It was so reminiscent of my childhood, the way I won't even try to impersonate it, but it was so reminiscent of my childhood in hearing the characters then say Godzilla. It was just really, really good. So that's at 44 minutes and 38 seconds. I loved it. At 53 minutes and 20 seconds, this gets one box of popcorn. Prepare to engage target. The humans start to attack the Muto, we now call it a Muto, the massive unidentified terrestrial organism. And it's just more spectacular sound, really. Bass rumbling and vibrating the room, concussion blasts moving throughout the room and you. And you can see them coming and then feel when they go through you. So you'll get that explosion and then the concussion blast, you'll see the ring of it coming out. And here it comes. I can hear it. And then as it goes through you, you actually feel it. It was very well done. Fantastic. I loved it. Clear dialogue throughout this scene and really nice high frequency sounds placed nearly perfectly around the room. Really, really good. Really enjoyed it. At 54 minutes and 55 seconds, we get two boxes of popcorn for this one. Second bogey, and here he comes. I can't tell you how excited I was to see him approaching. We're 54 minutes in, and now we're getting Godzilla. The water swelling, the deep bass, the crashing of the water into the shore. Lots of great actual and it's a very engaging scene, but very nostalgic scene to me. I watched this, like I said before, on a 19-inch TV. It was color, but when I was a kid, very nice. It was mesmerizing then. And the scene made me feel like that kid again. And on a Saturday afternoon, sitting about 3 feet from my screen with my eyes and my mouth wide open, just like in awe, having fun. And it's funny. I think back to that and I used to sit close to the TV because I wanted that environment. And my parents always used to say, sit back, get on the couch. You're sitting too close to the TV. But for some reason, I don't remember my dad ever telling me when I'm watching Creature Double Feature, he never told me to get back. Or if he did, I didn't hear him. But that's what I was just allowed to be there. And that probably helped, get me into this love of movies, be able to get to that 4x3 19-inch screen and just get absorbed into these movies. And I really, really enjoyed this scene and this entire movie, actually. What am I talking about? At 56 minutes and 40 seconds, flares. Just more of the same. Sounds and visuals are just awesome. I need this scene in HDR, but this is just unreal to me. It just looks so good. It just looks so good. I can't wait for it to in HDR though. Check out these flares. They're so nice. At 58 minutes and 29 seconds, airport attack. More great bass and use of discrete sounds as planes attack the Muto. Great base with every step as the Muto moves about the airport, just wreaking havoc. Like every step, you're getting more and more base. It's great. And then at 59 minutes and 20 seconds, these are moving along. This is like all the same scene, but they're moving along so fast. It's so much fun. The Godzilla roar, I gave it 2 boxes of popcorn. So good. So accurate, but such an upgrade over my parents' 19-inch television. And when I say it's accurate, this is what I was getting at with Twister. It's there's a foundation here. You can't just do anything. You can't, I mean, Godzilla never existed. There is no real sound for Godzilla with the exception of there's a history and there's a foundation that you don't need to adhere to, but it is so much better when they do. And I think they really nailed it. I really, really enjoyed it. At 1 hour, 1 minute and 30 seconds, swimming. Just a cool shot overhead of Godzilla making his way to the U.S. mainland. Really nice low base, but really cool visual because, again, it reminded me of the older movies and the battleships following, the fleet following along, and Godzilla just swimming along. It was just really, really cool. At 1 hour, 16 minutes and 44 seconds, hit the deck. This gets 2 boxes of popcorn. Ford and another military guy lie down on the train bridge while the new bigger Muto, now we have two, starts moving around them. Awesome, discreet base. You can feel it, and it is moving around your room. And great picture quality here. For the really dark scene, I'm sure this will be enhanced by HDR, but this is one of those scenes where I really think that you'll be surprised at how good this looks on a 1080p disc with standard dynamic range. It's because it's one of those cloudy, dark, lots of different things going on in the dark. It's just a lot of grays and dark blacks. There was a lot more detail here than I would have expected out of a standard dynamic range shot. But the sound's fantastic too. Is your room shakes, vibrates. It's just really, really good. Really fun scene to just experience over and over. And that's why I gave it 2 boxes of popcorn. At 1 hour, 24 minutes and 47 seconds, port side, Godzilla shows up and the sound and bass are really, really good with all of the gunfire, the explosions, Godzilla screaming, yelling, whatever you call that, people screaming and yelling, and the drum beats of the score, everything very engaging, a monochromatic look to everything except for, I believe it's the bus and the flames and the fire. It's just really, really cool. And again, this is one of those, I think HDR will do a lot for it, but it does. It looks really nice. And the yellow of that bus pops. The color of the flames really pops. I thought the gradation of the grays in the water and the ships and the bridge and the military personnel's, not costumes, but their uniforms. There was a lot of detail and contrast there for, like I said, a pretty monochromatic picture, which I think HDR will really enhance this. But like I said, it's definitely worth checking out in this 1080p disc. At 1 hour, 29 minutes and 25 seconds, in love, the two Mutos finally get to meet, and you can hear them talking to each other. And the sound leading up to this is fantastic. But at this timestamp, the picture quality is great. It's monochromatic except for their red eyes. But what I was making note of here is when they finally do kiss and rub noses or whatever they're doing, the clicking noises, they bounce that they're making to communicate. They bounce back and forth across the front of your screen because, one's on the left and one's on the right. And then their noises will bounce back and forth, just like if they were having that conversation. It was pretty cool how the sounds were anchored to the front of your room. But because they're such loud sounds and they're trying to display that these are going to, reverberate. They actually did. You could hear it reverberate throughout your room, but still have that anchored feeling. All the while, they're bouncing back and forth across the front of your room. A lot going on there with just a couple of clicking noises going back and forth. I thought that was really interesting. At 1 hour, 34 minutes, and 32 seconds, Halo Jump, two boxes of popcorn here. This is over a minute and a half long of just stunning visuals and incredible sound. The score here is really carrying the sound in this scene as it intensifies as the jumpers get closer to the ground. So it, I mean, just as they're coming down, the score is going up, which is awesome. But that's not to say that the ambient sounds are slighted. It's like hearing the wind rush by, and we go back inside a mask off and on here again as the, I believe it's Ford that we're going inside his mask. All great sounds. But the visuals of this scene are just as impressive. The red sun, the red smoke following each jumper, the grays in the skies, the artistic long shots of the sky and the jumpers, the red tails, like I said, following as they do the long shot. And then the red tails, I should say, oh, that's the smoke, but I call them tails second after I already said red smoke, but the tails on the long shot, when they just show all of those red smoke lines going up on the long shot, it looks really, really nice. It's really hard to do this scene justice, like I'm trying to here, but when you watch it, you'll know why they use this shot in promotional material, because it does. It looks so fantastic. It's really, really nicely done. And again, can't wait for the HDR. This is another one of those scenes, and that's why I gave it two boxes of popcorn. And the battle, all right, from here on out, the battle is pretty much nonstop with, like I said, I already said it earlier. This is just let it run. And I'm trying to give you some scenes as we go here, but this from here on out, it's just a great battle scene, but let's just try to rifle through a few of these. 1 hour, 37 minutes and 57 seconds. Another scream. Just like I said earlier about the Godzilla scream. It's another fantastic scream. At 1 hour, 40 minutes and 27 seconds. Tackled. Godzilla tackles a Muto and the room engagement ramps up, plus the visual of the two giant monsters fighting in between these buildings. It's why we're here. It's why you're watching this movie. It's probably why you're listening to this podcast, because if you have zero interest in Godzilla, maybe you're not listening to this much of the podcast. But this is why we're here, and just watching these two giants fight in between the buildings, it just reminded me of when I was a kid and the engagement of your room. Just a lot of fun. It's just a lot of home theater fun in here, plus monster fun. At 1 hour, 44 minutes and 6 seconds, power up. And Godzilla starts powering up here. And we get a new bright color, because we haven't seen this hue of blue, this light blue, this bright, vibrant blue, as his tail starts to, the spikes on his tail start to glow. And then he lets out that blue fire breath with an awesome scream that just fills the room. Again, just awesome. I can't imagine how much better the HDR will be, but in the expanded color palette. But it's how is that going to look with Rec 2020? That blue. I'm so excited for it. I can't wait to see it. At 1 hour, 48 minutes and 55 seconds, no score. And I gave it two boxes of popcorn. This scene was really cool because of the lack of score. As Ford is working to push the boat off the dock, the score is cranking and setting the tone of anxiety. Like, he's trying to get out of there, and it really is like, is he going to make it? The tone is setting the stage. It's setting the feel, right? But once he gets the boat off the dock, he settles back, like sits back and relaxes, and the score goes away. And you can hear all the nice little ambient sounds of being on a boat. But then, without a score, the scene is building as the Muto approaches. He's coming in and he's going to attack Ford on the boat. He's leaning in, but then Godzilla grabs him from behind, crunches in on his neck. Obviously, all of the sounds of this action are now building up with no score. And it's just very discreet. Lot of deep bass. You feel this entire sequence. And then as Godzilla's fighting him and he rips open the Muto's mouth and then breathes down his throat, and then his head comes off in like, and in victory, the score comes back up. It's just, to me, it's just a tremendous scene where I love how they use that sound. They use that score, which we take for granted. We have so much fun and it sets the tone. And then you take it away and it just changes everything. It changes that tone and really allows those ambient sounds in this action sequence to really play out and have your room really be engaged with that. But then when they bring that score back, it just, you know, exemplifies the victory. Obviously, it's just I loved it. Absolutely awesome. Definitely check that out. I gave it 2 boxes of popcorn. It was awesome. It was like I was 11 again, and my toys, my Godzilla and my Kong, and Godzilla and Kong. See, I'm so looking forward to that movie. But just playing with my different figurines, it was awesome. And this being like the, you know, the finale of the movie, the victory, you want to end on that, or I'd like to end on that. But the final images of Godzilla walking exhausted back into the ocean are great. At 1 hour, 55 minutes, and 15 seconds, we see and hear with every step and last scream of Godzilla retreating back to his home in the ocean without so much as a thank you. But we get the look of Ken Watanabe as he looks up at Godzilla. He really captures how Godzilla fans feel at the end of this movie. And it's like, thank you, Godzilla. Thank you for my childhood Saturday afternoons. Thank you for making my room go boom, because that's how I felt after this movie. Godzilla, go rest up. Can't wait to see you defend your title as King of the Monsters. We'll get that one coming up soon. We got Kong. These are just so, so much fun. It's hysterical for me to see everybody on Twitter, not everybody, to see people on Twitter complaining about the sizes of the different monsters and that's not what they're supposed to look like. And look, the imaginations we used when we were kids, when we were thinking of this stuff and playing with our figurines, that's what these artists are doing now. They're probably my age and they're making these movies. Let them go. Let's have fun with it. I don't care how big they are. There's no context here. Just have a blast with it. And I want to see monsters fighting, and we're going to get more of this goodness all the way up, building up to March 31st in the States. So really looking forward to it. The theater running time of this movie, 1 hour, 56 minutes and 10 seconds. So a lot of fun, had a blast, absolute blast this week. My throat is sore from this again. Lot of fun. That's why I couldn't do the double feature. I don't think I could have made it through it. I have so much fun watching these movies, and it took me a lot. I really enjoyed it, and I highly, highly recommend it. So that'll do it for this week. If you need to get in touch with me, please do on Twitter at BrightsideHT, or you can email me at BrightsideHomeTheater@gmail.com. And you can check out this podcast along with all the other podcasts on NerdyLegion.com. Check those out. And you could check out the website, BrightsideHomeTheater.com, for all of this information and more. That'll do it. I'm going to go get another drink of water. Have a great week, everybody. I will be back next week. Who knows what I'll be talking about, but I'm going to have a blast this week. Hope you do too. Now go push play.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.